The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today is Thursday, July 23rd. What to know today about COVID-19 testing delays and what some of the largest testing companies have to say about it. Also, why China is promising retaliation again, and what's in a historic bill that passed with overwhelming support from both parties. Plus, it's baseball's opening day, which city is getting a new soccer team, and the changes coming to Amazon's delivery boxes. Oh, and we have an announcement for you near the end of the show. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. The nation's testing capacity has been pushed to its limits. The AP reports some labs are now taking weeks to return COVID-19 test results. Of course, this is a huge problem. In a lot of cases, people don't know if they can go back to work while they wait for their results. Nursing homes don't know which patients to isolate. And as you can imagine, it also makes contact tracing efforts, when workers warn those who have been exposed, a lot more difficult. So what's the potential solution? Well, one of the largest testing chains, Quest Diagnostics, is asking healthcare providers only to test people who either came into contact with someone who has COVID or is showing symptoms themselves, and no one else. The CEO of another testing leader, LabCorp, told CNBC it's up to states to get the spread of the virus under control so there are fewer tests needed and his company can then keep up with demand. More funding for testing could be on the way. Congress is still debating how much money from the next relief bill would be given to boost the nation's testing supply. Once that's hammered out, it might make things at least a little bit easier and faster. The three most populous states, California, Texas, and Florida, are hitting new grim milestones. Let's start with California. Since January, more than 415,000 people have been infected with COVID-19 in the Golden State. That's the highest number of confirmed cases of any state nationwide. Of course, California also has the largest population, so the numbers wouldn't be all that surprising, except for that they've climbed so quickly over the past month. Also, the AP reports that statewide, hospitalizations have nearly doubled, and the number of severely ill COVID patients in ICUs has gone up more than 70%, all in the last month. Governor Gavin Newsom and state health officials blame more people getting together with friends and family and not wearing face masks or social distancing. Both Texas and Florida recorded nearly 10,000 new COVID-19 cases each just yesterday. And Texas set more one-day records both for hospitalizations and deaths. Meanwhile, Washington, D.C., Minnesota, Indiana, and Ohio all issued new mask requirements yesterday. It comes one day after President Trump joined health experts by stressing the importance of wearing masks to stop the spread of COVID-19. Federal law enforcement officers are heading to two American cities this week. As expected, President Trump announced he's sending about 200 officers to Chicago. He says he's also sending about 35 to Albuquerque, New Mexico. He called it necessary to help drive down violent crime. We should note the Trump administration now says this is different from what we saw in Portland, Oregon. Remember, the Department of Homeland Security sent agents to Portland to protect monuments and federal property from protesters and rioters. And their local leaders are angry about the federal agents' actions. But protests are apparently not going to be the primary focus in Chicago or Albuquerque. Both Chicago's mayor and New Mexico's governor, who are both Democrats, say as long as that's true, they welcome this federal help. The Justice Department says the federal officers will assist local law enforcement to arrest fugitives, stop illegal gun sales, and prosecute gun cases in federal court. President Trump says federal agents might end up going to other cities as well. China has until tomorrow to close its consulate in Houston, Texas. The U.S. ordered it closed. The Trump administration accused Chinese diplomats of trying to steal scientific research and says they've been helping with so-called economic espionage. It's not clear exactly what prompted the sudden decision, but the U.S. did say diplomats broke the law. Hours after the Chinese ambassador got the news, consulate employees started fires in barrels outside the building. They may have been burning documents. Senator Marco Rubio, who chairs the Senate's Intelligence Committee, called China's Houston consulate a, quote, massive spy center. Well, the news did not go over well in China. Leaders in Beijing promised to retaliate and called it a, quote, unprecedented escalation. For now, the Chinese embassy in Washington, D.C. and five other Chinese consulates around the U.S. are staying put. When asked if the U.S. would close any more Chinese facilities, President Trump said, quote, "It's always possible." It's being called the most significant conservation legislation passed in nearly half a century. The Great American Outdoors Act won overwhelming approval by both Democrats and Republicans in both the House and the Senate. The bill would spend nearly $3 billion on projects to maintain and improve national parks, forests, and wildlife refuges. Supporters say the bill will create at least 100,000 jobs while repairing and protecting public lands, though there are some critics who call it a federal land grab. The Great American Outdoors Act now goes to President Trump, who is expected to sign it. China just launched its first ever solo mission to Mars. The rover is set to reach the red planet in February. Remember, this is the second of three planned missions to Mars around the world within just 2 weeks. The United Arab Emirates launched its satellite towards Mars on Monday, and NASA in the U.S. is expected to launch its Mars rover called Perseverance as soon as 1 week from today. All of them are taking advantage of the brief window that comes once every 2 years or so when Earth and Mars are closer than usual. All right, we have more news ahead, but first, a quick break for our sponsor today, Castle Grade. If you're looking for a mask that is reusable, sustainable, comfortable, and has the same level of protection as N95 masks, then check out Castle Grade. First, an important point that I made sure to discuss with both the company and an independent virologist before I agreed to promote them. N95 masks are in short supply because of the cloth material and factories they use. But Castle Grade does not use those same materials or factories, so you can get the same level of protection without those added concerns. The Castle Grade mask is also registered with the FDA as an N95. And there's even more to like. The Castle Grade is much more environmentally friendly. Instead of contributing to the billions of disposable masks and N95s being thrown out at the end of each day, the Castle Grade mask is reusable. It's even dishwasher safe, so cleaning can be super easy. Go to castlegrade.com to learn more and enter the discount code NEWS at checkout for 10% off your first order. That's castlegrade.com and use the code NEWS, N-E-W-S, at checkout for 10% off your first order. Now, back to the news. Today is opening day for Major League Baseball. The delayed season kicks off tonight when the Washington Nationals host the New York Yankees at 7 o'clock Eastern. Then at 10 o'clock, it's the LA Dodgers against the San Francisco Giants. Tomorrow, 28 more teams hit the diamond for their first games of the season. Even though the season is back, it'll be unlike anything we've ever seen. Just like with other sports, fans are not allowed at the games, so the MLB is piping in crowd noise for people watching at home. Some ballparks are even filling seats with cardboard cutouts of spectators, so games look at least a little less lonely. Players have some new rules, too. For example, social distancing is encouraged. Don't expect to see many high fives, fist pumps, or hugs. Some players are going to be wearing masks as well, even though they will not be mandatory. Oh, and another separate thing that's changing this year, players will be allowed to display social justice messages on their jerseys. The AP reports some will be wearing Black Lives Matter or United for Change patches. Women's soccer is coming to Los Angeles, California. The National Women's Soccer League approved a new team. The Wall Street Journal reports this was thanks to the work of some famous and powerful women. People like actress Natalie Portman and tennis star Serena Williams have all thrown their support and money behind the effort. And a bunch of female entrepreneurs have invested as well. As of now, the LA team does not have an official name, but the owners are calling it Angel City. When it launches in 2022, it'll be the league's 11th franchise. For the first time ever, a woman is taking command of the U.S. Army Reserve. Lieutenant General Jody Daniels has been promoted to the post, and that's history-making. USA Today reports a woman has never been at the helm of the Army Reserve in its 112-year history. Daniels has served as an intelligence officer in Iraq and has a doctoral degree in computer science. Still, there's a long way to go before we see equality in the military's senior ranks. Women reportedly make up less than a quarter of admirals and generals in the U.S. military. Amazon wants you to reuse its shipping boxes, and it's giving customers new motivation to help make it happen. The company is rolling out new boxes that can be turned into things like a cat condo, a robot costume, a fort, or a toy rocket. The idea is pets or children will be able to play with these, and the boxes will get more than just one use. USA Today reports these new packages will include a QR code so people can scan it to get step-by-step building instructions. Amazon says it's going to start using them this week. And it's worth noting, the new packaging is more environmentally friendly as well because they're made with less material than usual cardboard boxes. And that's it for the main 10 minutes of news today. But now it's time for Thing to Know Thursday. And we have a big announcement about this. We feel we've been sort of hiding these insightful interviews after the news on Thursdays. And so we've decided to give them their very own episodes on Saturdays. That's right. The Newsworthy is coming to your weekends for the very first time with Special Edition Saturday. They will be the same style, format, and topics you're used to getting on Thursdays, but only on Saturdays. We hope this helps to highlight our guests and the topics we talk about, make it easier to share those episodes, and allows you to easily scroll through our feed to find past interviews as well. Again, it's called Special Edition Saturday, and it starts this weekend. But Thing to Know Thursday will still exist as a shorter segment, where we'll explain one extra quick thing to know each week. And today we're telling you about the Olympics. Today marks exactly 1 year until the opening ceremony is supposed to happen in Tokyo, Japan. Remember, it was set to start just yesterday, and that didn't happen because of the pandemic. So it's now next summer instead. Still, some public health experts are skeptical things will not be back to normal enough to allow high-risk sports and large crowds. Well, both the International Olympic Committee and local organizers have said they will not postpone the Tokyo Olympics again. So it sounds like it either happens next summer in 1 year or it won't happen at all. And we'll have to wait until the 2024 Olympic Games in Paris, France. By the way, assuming the Olympics do happen in 2021, it'll still be called the 2020 Games. At least it'll still use the official logo since many of the t-shirts, signs, and other marketing materials have already been printed. All right, thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with your news roundup for Friday and the weekend. Until then, have a great day.